Hi, this is Alan.
And the Grizz.
Just a few quick messages before the start of the episode. First of all, thank you very much for listening to Rise of the Robots. If you can, we really appreciate it if you can rate and review us at the end of the episode, obviously, on your podcatcher of choice. Ratings and reviews are how we get onto the charts. Really, we would really appreciate it. Also, if you subscribe on your podcaster of choice, that'd be fantastic. Also, if you want to get in contact with us, well, you can email us at rotrpodcast@gmail.com.
You can also get in touch with us on our Facebook, which is Rise of the Robots, and our Twitter at PodcastROTR. That's PodcastROTR.
And finally, just a reminder that Rise of the Robots is held under a Creative Commons Attribution, Share Alike 4.0 international license. Enjoy the episode. Hello! Welcome to the podcast that's saltier than Ian Lewis after a fight with a pussycat. I'm Alan.
I'm the Grizz.
And welcome to Rise of the Robots. Today we are covering Robot Wars Series 4, Episode E. Yes, well, this is the fifth episode of season four, and well, I don't know if it was just because of, I don't know what it was, but for some reason this episode seemed to be really quick.
Yeah, like there was a lot of weird sort of stuff in this kind of batch of episodes that we watched.
We will get straight into the first fight, Maestro, if you please.
From Suffolk, Henry II.
Which somehow looks worse than Henry I.
Which wasn't difficult.
I mean, Henry II, it's a blue wedge. It's got this weird shape to it, so it's not actually a proper wedge. It has pathetic tiny little wheels hanging off the side of it. It has a flipper that I suppose works. We never get to find out.
Yeah, it looks like it's like two robots put together because of the weird shape. It's bizarre.
Who would put two? I mean, who would have two separate robots in an arena? That's just dangerous.
Silly, silly Billy.
Oh.
I told. And then decide salty. To give them. And then decide to give them tails eventually.
Aye. We'll get to that.
From.
Sorry, yeah. Go ahead.
From Huntingdon, Dominator 2.
It's a golden axe bot. Very unusual shape.
From Kettering, Seed Number 9, 101.
Which is the same as last year. Almost literally.
And the same as it's always going to be, pretty much.
Well, I don't know, did it have the black and yellow side panels or the Dalmatian ones this time? It seems to interchange those.
Yeah, I kinda more thought they were like cow sides as opposed to,
well, 101.
As opposed to Dalmatian, but yeah, but it's yeah. I know. I suppose you're right. I've never actually I've noticed that without noticing it. If you know what I mean.
Like,
yeah, you're right. It does have like different sides. I am just trying to check because, as usual, it is playing in the background. So I'll inform you in due time.
Because it had the dog ones in the pinball, and I know it has the dog ones in the tag team tournament, which was filmed around the same time.
Uh huh.
So. Craig Charles, I have a note here, which is Craig Charles sings Prodigy lyrics, but they're wrong. I can't.
Fantastic. That's what you want.
Which, first of all, the fact that I'm sitting there going, I haven't listened to the Prodigy in about 10 years, and I know that those are the wrong lyrics.
Do you have the lyrics that he sang to hand?
I don't know.
Yeah. I really wanted to hear you of all people reciting Prodigy lyrics.
Well, anyway, what does happen in this battle is the battle lasts 2.6 seconds for Henry II.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just...
Henry six.
It is the perfect axe blow. I mean, you even see it like... Henry's going forward and you just see it freewheel.
Yeah. It's just like, and here we go, blam!
I mean, a spike in the back is absolutely devastating. Anyway, well, on to this battle. But Dominator's axe is terrifying.
Yeah, that's it. That is the battle. Pretty much after this, it's just the house robots beating the hell out of Henry while 101 literally just drives around trying to avoid Dominator.
I mean, it's... Because what happens is, right, the way that Dominator 2... It's a very... It's kind of two... triangular... It's like, basically, if you took the classic wedge shape and you cut a triangle out the thin end of the triangle, if that makes sense. And it... The axe itself is like... it's like three spikes on a pole. And I know that it gets more powerful because every memory I have of Dominator 2 is of it impaling itself to the floor, which it doesn't do in this episode.
Oh, yeah.
But it is. It's literally, it's 2 minutes of 101 just trying to avoid the axe.
It's like you can just see it literally drive a bit like, leave me alone, leave me alone, leave me alone. And then, like, it's weird because, like, the end of the match comes where 101 helps Shunt push Henry into the pit, and then Dominator is just nowhere to be seen. Something must have happened.
Well, I don't know. It might just have kind of hidden in the background again. If I stay still, they'll just think I'm part of the floor. It's not like I'm golden covered in painted flames.
Sir Killer's senses are based on movement.
Anyway, we'll get straight into the second battle.
Do we have to?
The quicker that we talk about it, the quicker it's over.
From the Isle of Sheppey, Major Tom.
Which is a barrel. Literally, it's a barrel with a sheet of metal on the front of it that's meant to be a flipper, apparently. Mm-hmm. And a bubble gum dispenser head. It's actually the best looking robot in this fight, to be fair.
Hey. From Cambridge, Disco Inferno.
Which I remember sitting in. I don't remember Disco Inferno being in Series 4. Oh, this is going to be fun. This is going to be brilliant.
Oh, here's why.
Yeah. Yeah. So it is a plastic rectangular clear robot with a giant flywheel on the front of it.
Yeah, it's Robot the Bruce with hitting the disc spinner.
It's basically lo-fi concept carbide.
Oh, jeez, yeah.
It's literally the design that would become carbide, though obviously this isn't the team that made carbide.
Yeah, wasn't the team from Dufford, well, more specifically, from Dufford Girls Grammar School, seated number 25, Shadow of Napalm.
So, you know when Napalm looked really ramshackle and bad?
Yeah.
Somehow it looks worse than that.
I've not even built a robot, and I can say that I've built robots better than Shadow of Napalm.
It's just so weird looking. Do you know what it reminds me of? Do you know the actual robot it reminds me of now that I look at it again?
Go on.
What was it? Talk of the Devil. No, not Talk of the Devil. No, what was the one?
Prince of Darkness.
That's the one. It looks like Prince of Darkness after the paint job.
Yeah, it does. And considering that they were there in that season.
Yeah, and they made Detonator, which looked better. Wonder if we'll see Detonator again.
No, don't think we will.
Let's ask Rira.
Oh yeah, I'm sure she has like all the stats, as in like how long every Detonator match, which there was only one of, happened.
Yeah, this match is
bad.
Oh my god. Like, Disco Inferno came in looking like the only decent robot, and it was the one that got put out. Because I think they said after the fight that one of them just got the perfect hit and ended up just turning off the robot.
Well, what happened by the sound of it? So, Shadow and Napalm and Disco Inferno crash into each other head on. And by the sound of it, what that did is it dislodged a wire into the perfect way. Basically, the wire got trapped inside the robot. It got knocked loose, and that just basically pulled its kill switch. It's not like the weapon did any great damage before.
Yeah, that's true, to be honest. It didn't really seem to get very, very up to speed before it even killed itself, essentially.
Yeah. It means that the shadow of Napalm.
Yeah, get that right.
Which I would have thought, if you said Shadow of Napalm and then show me a picture of Napalm 2, I would think that's more accurate.
Yeah, I feel like Shadow of Napalm, like, surprisingly, Shadow of Napalm is the one robot that they're really, like, embarrassed about.
Which is telling.
Very much saying something.
Yeah. And Major Tom gets through, which is good, because the head survived.
No. Major Tom's stupid and I hate it.
Oh, come on. I love Major Tom. It's entertainment. It is absolutely a robot that's there to entertain rather than to win.
I would hope so. Yeah, maybe they're taking the words of the kid from Indefatigable to literally. It's not the winning, it's the taking part that counts. Said like a true loser. Take that kid from 2004.
That kid from 20 years ago. He must really... I mean, he built a robot and we sit and ramble and...
Talk about it.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway...
Imagine it was that thing where we get an email. It's like, actually, I was quite a big fan of your podcast until you insulted me vicariously. Like,
in all seriousness, as someone who was a huge fan of a podcast until one of their guests was a cunt about me, I can completely understand.
Yeesh.
Hi guys, Alan
and Chris
here with a slight break from the main show. Just to say thanks to the people about whom this podcast would not be possible. Firstly, to Greg Watt, who designed the Rise of the Robots logo, before I butchered it slightly.
Also want to give a quick shout out to Technolax, who do our theme song, Master Machine. You can check out Technolax on YouTube or their website at technolax.com to listen to all of their royalty-free tracks.
Yeah, anyway.
Moving on. So,
how about some pinball?
Oh, the pinball's brilliant.
Yeah. I mean, I would personally have loved to just been in the arena just to watch this.
So, the pinball entrant today is the Spawn of Scutter, which had a kind of middling run in the sumo, and based on this performance, I don't know why.
Yeah, totally. Like,
so what happens is, it goes for the barrel, go for the barrels at first, gets that very quickly. Now, it gets the 50-point target by shoulder-barging Matilda out of the way.
It's like, yeah, I want this target. Excuse me.
Matilda's heavier than Shunt.
Interesting. I did not know that. And looking at the two of them, I would not have guessed that.
Well, Shunt's only 105, and I think Matilda's like 109. I think it's because Matilda's got the weapon systems. She's heavier.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, so Matilda gets bull rushed out of the way. Spawn Scutter manages to get all the targets.
Yeah. Like, it was really good in the way that it was just like, right, barrels, okay, those are done. Like, that side target, hit the multi-ball, hit the 75, and then he probably should have went for the door next, but maybe he thought, like, if I go through that, I might get stuck in that corner, so he kind of dismissed it. And then he just went straight for the 50-point buffer and then more barrels. So he literally worked his way around, the whole sort of perimeter of the pinball arena.
Yep. And we have a new leader in the pinball with 245.
Jeebus. It's going
to take a lot to beat jump that. Up.
Yes.
I mean, you'd almost need to be two of you to get that sort of record beaten.
Dick. I was trying to say that.
It could be worse, Grizz.
It could.
You could be watching 101 versus Major Tom.
Yes, we could. Because to be honest, I have so little of my notes for this because I was so unenthused by this match. I like 101, but it is very kind of dull as a robot because it doesn't really do anything. And I think if the team weren't as likable as they were, I probably would hate it more.
Well, it's I basically 101 is a pusher and nagging robot, except it doesn't have the thing that a pushing robot really needs, which is a flat surface with which to push.
Yes, that was exactly what I was thinking in this match of, it keeps trying to push, but every time it collides with the robot, it's colliding with its tracks first, which would then mean that it would stop. So therefore, it wouldn't really have, a lot of pushing power.
That said, it does push Major Tom into the wall hard enough to break the flipper. It bends the flipper blade.
Yeah, well, to be honest, the flipper was already... it was wedged open to begin with, so I don't think that was going anywhere.
And then we get to the gory dissection.
Yeah. So just before this match, they did mention that they built Major Tom for 100 bones.
I mean, it's
fair attempt.
I mean, for £100, I mean that's less than a Chaos 2. To be fair. So then Matilda chainsaws off Major Tom's face.
Yeah, just the face. That was quite impressive in that way. It looked like something from Hostel.
Or Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Yeah.
I was half expecting Matilda to enter the next match wearing Major Tom's face. I'm kind of disappointed.
That's something that's something that Sir Kill-A-Lot would do.
Yeah, exactly.
Kill-A-Lot has a very human-esque face. I thought that would have been really good.
I mean, it's a bit like, was it season 2 where he had all the trophies?
Yeah, there was season 2, and then that one that you pointed out where he had a big Deator mohawk in one match.
Yeah.
From 3.
There was a Deator note I had. Yeah, Super Bunny this year has a Deator fur cape.
Ah.
Which is awesome.
That would be awesome if they made a little Deator jacket for it.
Yeah. And then because Shunt looks over and goes, "Oh, you managed to carefully remove the face, leaving the rest of the head intact. Would be a shame if someone drove an axe through it."
What a nice head you have. It would be a shame if someone smashed it.
So yeah, Major Tom gets pulled apart by the house robots. And then, before we get to...
Kinda gets flopped in the pit, but its weird flipper is so stuck out that it kinda keeps it almost balanced out of the pit.
So you're saying that if your whole body is not in the pit, you're not in the pit?
Well, it kind of was, and the pyro and everything went off, and then I think eventually, they gave it a wee nudge, okay, it's in there. Goodbye.
Okay. Interesting. And one thing I did note as well, which is the only note I have about Julia in this episode, is she seems to be obsessed with 101's spike sensor.
I think she's the only one.
I mean, it is. It's every time it's spike sensor, spike sensor, spike sensor. And it's I get why, because it's probably the closest to modern technology in 101.
Yeah.
But it's kind of weird.
I know, I feel like it's like one of those things where she was told about it. And then, you know, like when you learn one thing about a person and then, like, you meet them again and you bring up that one thing to be like, see, I was listening.
Yeah. So, next up is Shadow of Napalm versus a proper weapon. And it, I mean, RefBot several times has to come in to try, almost to get, you know that way, it's like in boxing, when the ref's like, No, I've got to get in to protect the opponent here because otherwise they're going to die.
Yeah, like an MMA when like it gets to the point where the dude's knocked out and you see the ref just throwing the other fighter off of him.
Yeah.
Yeah, this was sad.
And, I mean, it is. It's Dominator 2 just nails Shadow Napalm. The arm is starting to come off. By the end of the match.
It does by the end of the match. I feel like...
What actually happens is when it goes in the pit, it's almost like the armor stays above the pit and the rest of the robot just drops out the bottom of it.
Yeah. That's exactly what happens. It just kind of like... It's like Shadow of Napalm just had a vindaloo and then this was the aftermath.
Yeah. It literally shat its guts out.
Oh, there you go.
So next up... is the sumo.
It is indeed. So we had the two runs, again, as we always do. So the first run was the newcomer Maverick.
Which is a green wedge bot with a tiny flipper. And you know how you talk about annoying kids?
Uh-huh.
This kid really, really annoys me.
Why is that?
We'll get to it when he appears in the episode. But he says something that, shows that he doesn't know much about what he's talking about.
Yeah, kind of when you just get a kid, like, tell a kid, it's like, right, say this, it'll make you sound smart, and then they say it, and then you're standing there like, you have no idea what that means, do you?
Yeah.
So anyway,
Maverick lasts 9 seconds.
All of 9.7 seconds, and then we get my boys of Exterminator coming in.
Now, at this point, to be clear, the longest time anyone's done is 18 seconds.
Yeah, so...
So, you're going and it's like, this seems like they've been really fast getting to this point. I wonder why.
Yeah, totally. And then, so then Exterminator comes in. And
one thing Exterminator does that no one else does, Exterminator charges.
Yeah.
It goes direct, it goes, come on then. And because
head to head.
Yeah.
Scoop to scoop.
And its scoop gets under Shunt's.
Yep.
And
just enough that Shunt is kind of off the ground. You can see like Shunt's wheels spinning.
Well, you
but
can
nothing
actually,
happening.
You can hear it. Shunt's wheels are screeching because they're getting barely any contact with the ground.
Uh-huh. I mean, and then also, like, I don't really take notes for this. I just kind of take the names and then the times. But I took a note that says, Jonathan Pierce does an amazing job of commentating an entire minute of two robots sitting still.
I mean, to be fair, it is the most exciting minute of two robots sitting still you will ever see.
Probably, yeah.
Because it is, you actually see the two robots are working away, are moving, are kind of jostling. I mean, Exterminator's smoking by the end.
Which is funny because later on, there is another robot that manages to pull off the same job as Exterminator. But, like, the demeanor completely changed for that one, where it's like, oh, they're not really doing anything.
Yeah.
And then it kind of, like, cuts to a replay of them colliding, and it cuts back to the end of the 1 minute. So it's just,
yeah,
I don't know, it's just the kind of way that Exterminators was made to look really impressive, and then the other robot later on, just not so much.
Absolutely. It's a completely different... environment. But yeah, Exterminator manages to pull it off and manages to get the full minute, meaning that it currently tops the board.
And as you kind of alluded to, it's not like it really needed to do much.
Oh no, it needed to do a lot. I think you'll find, see, when you actually, if you were actually in the booth, they were actually probably, it was probably really tense and really difficult.
Probably, yeah. No, but I meant in terms of, like, as you said, the person that was in first place was in first place with 18 seconds.
Yeah.
So if they had any, even a slight chance, like, that's all they really needed to do.
Absolutely.
And they done, what, fucking nearly five times that amount.
It's not even that. It's the fact that there is moments where you actually see Exterminator start to work shunt off.
Yeah, I know. I was thinking that there was one point where, like, the two of them moved, and then you even heard the crowd go, "Oh!" And I was like, did Shunt try and reverse a bit there to try and free itself, yeah. But then, like, obviously, Exterminator was just kind of, like, right on him, so he was probably just like, less of that.
Hey guys, Alan here. I'm just taking a quick break from the podcast to let you know that if you are enjoying this podcast and you want to hear more, the whole archive is available either on your podcatcher of choice or on the Audio Boom website. Alternatively, if there is some other podcasts you would like to listen to between listening to us, there is a list published on the Robot Report of several of the most popular podcasts, a botcast list, as it's referred to on the website. We will have a link in the description of this podcast. So, on the podcast list at the Robot Report, it lists the podcast in question, a quick description about the podcast, and all the links that you can go onto to access their episodes. The podcasts that are listed include Behind the Bots, Extreme Scrutiny Club, Roasting Robots, Roboteers Stand By, The Drop Zone, The Robocast, The Robot Wars History Podcast, The Shuntcast, and of course, Rise of the Robots. So if you check out that page, it will give you plenty of listening between now and your next episode of Rise of the Robots. Let's get back to the final part of this week's episode. So, we get to the final. So, we have the former semi-finalist, one of the robots that was able to live with Hypnodisc, and probably one of the most impressive newcomers we've had, certainly in Series 4.
Especially since we've seen this robot last year.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's one of those weird ones. I think we do have to class this as a newcomer. In terms of, this might be one of the most consistently effective weapons and one of the most consistent axe bots as well, outright.
Yeah, that's a very fair claim. I think, like, the only kind of problem for Dominator was when it covered up its wheels, because it actually uses its wheels quite a lot when it needs to self-right. So when it started with those wheel coverings, it actually took away quite a bit from its streamic.
Yeah, but that's in the future, to be fair.
Yeah.
101 looks very tired in this match.
Yeah. I mean, you're looking at the tracks, and, like, a lot of the little bits on it have started coming away, and it's just looking rough. I mean, it lasts the whole distance, which is very interesting, but...
Again, it's a very durable robot, and it almost has been. But it's something that we're going to see in a few weeks' time, where there are some robots in Series 4 that are past their sell-by date.
Oh, yeah, and then they continue on for another season. or two after that.
And there is actually an interesting moment, which is at one point 101 is trying to avoid the axe, and the first time Dominator 2 actually nails it, there is this moment where 101 actually goes, wait a minute, and starts to drive away from Dominator and drags Dominator with it. Like, you almost see 101 go, oh, I can still bully him when I'm impaled.
I've still got a chance.
And it's one thing I did notice, Dominator 2 loses part of its axe head.
Really? I did not notice that.
So the two spikes that are either side of the main one appear to be in a ring that's attached over the spike, and that goes flying off. So it's only the axe, the one spike on the head that's left.
Okay. Interesting.
I take it those two spikes are maybe part of the Shriek or something?
Maybe they're just there for show.
But anyway, it goes to the judge's decision.
Yeah, so there was one part where 101 did get stuck on the wall.
Yeah, it gets stuck under a spike, yeah.
And then Dead Metal frees it, and I was like, I don't know about that. Like, you should have left him there.
Well, I mean, to be fair, what then happens is another house robot pays it back by attacking 101 for no reason.
Oh, yeah. Shun just comes out and's like, hey, how you doing? Here's an axe.
It's not even that. It's like this moment of, like, you even see Raphael go, Shun, what you do? Because it's not even like 101's close and Shun drives a bit out. No, Shun is actually drives halfway across the arena to attack 101.
Yeah. Maybe, I don't know, maybe the Shun driver thought that, like, it was inactive or something, then came in to try and hit it, and then it was kind of like, nope, not allowed.
So, anyway, match goes to the judges, and the match goes to the way of Dominator 2, I think probably on damage, because I think 101 was probably better controlled, and both were kind of equally stylish and aggressive.
Yeah, obviously, I mean, the term Leibot Pepper Pot, you could pour pepper out of that Leibot machine comes to mind.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, 101 is looking very secondhand by the end.
I know, I feel like 101 only had like two good seasons in it, and then it just kind of became...
Well, to be fair, this is its second season.
Yeah, but yeah. I mean, like, going onwards, 101 just does not have it anymore.
Yeah, I get
but that's something
mean.
That's something to look at over the course of the rest of their career.
Well, to be fair, they only enter one more season after this, and then it's after that it goes to anarchy.
Yeah, so I think I'm thinking of like the appearances in Extreme as well. Like when I say seasons,
yeah,
I kind of mean with that, but. It is just it is always there, and then it's best days definitely are behind it now, it seems.
Yep. So we get on to the trivia.
The trivia.
So in the first battle of the heat, Dominator 2's knockout of Henry 2 broke the record for the fastest immobilization at 2.6 seconds, a record that stood until Series 10.
Well, to be honest, at least Henry, well, what am I trying to say here? Henry can at least be proud that it is part of history in some form or fashion, despite the fact that it is losing as quickly as possible.
Yep. So, later incarnations of four of the six robots in this heat would be featured in the Ultimate Guide. Only robots who went out in the first round were not in the Ultimate Guide.
They just went ultimate enough.
Four of the six competing teams would also appear in an Annihilator. Ironically, the only robot of those four that won its Annihilator went out in round one.
Yeah.
That said, the robots that tend to do well in Annihilators tend to be kind of unfancied robots.
Oh yeah, totally. Which is why I'm looking hella forward to talking about the Annihilators.
In both Eliminators, the third robot usually introduced was introduced second, and the second robot usually introduced first was introduced third. It is unknown if this was an error and was done for unknown reasons. Who wrote this? This is act. For once, this seems completely bizarre. Here's one that's good. Dominator 2 became the first robot to defeat both seeds in its heat.
Nice.
And on that alone, Dominator 2, best newcomer.
Yeah.
I mean, it won the heat. Yeah.
But specifically the fact that it beat two seeded robots as well.
So next up, if we go by this side as well, who would we put as most improved? Because I don't think any of them were an improvement.
You could argue again Dominator, considering we seen Dominator 1.
Oh my god, it is the first robot to actually be classed as both the best returning robot and best newcomer.
Because I'm looking at the field here and I'm like, there is nobody else that I would say has improved. Shadow of Napalm, granted, won their first match, but they were horrendous. And even Napalm last season, that still had the damage from season 2, went further in season 3 than it did in season 4. So that didn't improve.
So next up we'd have... So did anyone really under or overperform?
I'd say Disco Inferno underperformed.
Yeah, actually, now you mention it, yeah, probably.
Yeah, because with Disco Inferno, it looked... like just looking at it, you're kind of like, oh, okay, here's a new kind of Hypnodisc-esque kind of robot. It's going to be one to watch. And then it just... You know, the disc doesn't do much damage from the few hits it does make, and then it dies about a minute in. So, yeah, I think that's probably how I could say that it's the underperformer, because not that the TV show started building up, which they tend to do sometimes, like, you know, look at Toe Cutter last year or last season. It just looking at it, you could tell that they were like, they probably thought that they were going to do like Hypnodisc levels of damage and go as far as they did, then it just didn't work out for them.
Yep. I don't know. I mean, I don't think any team really overperforms, because it's not, yes, okay, Napalm gets to the semi-final, but it was dreadful in both matches. 101 doesn't underperform because it, or doesn't really overperform because it's always been a well-driven robot and it's always been durable.
Yeah.
So, And Dominator 2 deserves to be there, and maybe Major Tom, the fact it won a match is a bit surprising, but
shocking.
Still, yeah.
And even for like a minute, it kind of hung with 101 before it just got completely outmatched.
Yeah. So I don't know that there is an overperformer.
No, I'd say like this is one of these few times where that award will just go ungiven for the week.
Yep. So that brings us to an end of episode E. So next week is Grizz's favourite episode.
No.
It's arrived.
No.
I'll prepare the beeper.